We're going to read the Pentecost story together, at least part of it, from Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, so I invite you to open up there. Also going to look at Lord's Day 20 from the Catechism, which is about the Holy Spirit, and so we can actually open up to both of those. I didn't come very prepared because I don't have the page number from the hymnal for you, but I will get it. 882. All right. Thank you. So Acts 2, we'll just read verses 1 through 4, and then we will read together the question and answer from Lord's Day 20 on page 882. So first, God's own word from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And then question and answer 53. I'll read the question. We'll read the answer together. What do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit? First,
he is well as Father and Son, the eternal God. Second, he has given to me personally, so that by true faith he makes me share in Christ and all of his blessings, comforts me, and remains with me forever.
Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, living breath of God, breathe new life into our willing souls. For Jesus' sake, amen. Today is Pentecost, and Pentecost marks the day, as most of us probably know, in which the Holy Spirit was poured out on the disciples and ultimately on the church. On this day, which takes place 50 days after Easter, we express our gratitude to Jesus for sending us another counselor, as he promised he would. And we celebrate the Spirit's work in renewing all of creation, and we profess our confidence in the Spirit to grant us power for our mission of reaching the world with the gospel. Tonight, though, I just want us to remember together what we believe concerning the Holy Spirit. We profess to believe in the Holy Spirit when we recite the Apostles' Creed, right? I believe in the Holy Spirit. What is it exactly that we believe? What's the significance of Pentecost? Well, as is often the case, the Catechism is helpful for answering questions like these. It certainly doesn't give us maybe an exhaustive explanation of the benefits of Pentecost, but it does seem to kind of hit the nail on the head with a short, simple, clear, concise answer of what we believe about the Holy Spirit and of why Pentecost is so great. The Catechism focuses our attention on two really of the most important and essential truths set forth in the Bible regarding the Holy Spirit. The first, according to the Catechism, is that the Spirit, as well as the Father and the Son, is eternal God. There are some, maybe you've come across these people, they knocked on your door, they're Jehovah's Witnesses. They would say the Holy Spirit is not God, the Holy Spirit is simply God's power or God's force at work in the world. I think sometimes we need to be careful because in our own language about the Holy Spirit, we can almost say similar things if we're not careful. But we don't believe that. We don't believe that the Holy Spirit is simply God's power, God's force out in the world. We believe that the Holy Spirit is eternal God with the Father and with the Son, right? We believe in one God who exists in three persons, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Now, why do we believe this? Well, we believe it because Scripture teaches it. We read Scripture and we hear the Holy Spirit talked about, and we hear things said about the Holy Spirit that can only be said about a person. For instance, John 14:26. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Right there, the Spirit is said to teach and to remind. The Spirit has feeling, according to Isaiah 63:10, yet they rebelled and grieved the Holy Spirit. Right? A simple power or force cannot be grieved. It's a person who is grieved. The Spirit has a will. This is Acts 16:7. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit is capital there in the Bible, so that's the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Right? So the Spirit there is said to have a will. The Spirit there is said to not allow them to do something, not just Jesus, but the Spirit. Throughout Scripture, the Spirit is said to do things, right? The Spirit comforts. The Spirit testifies. The Spirit reveals. So on and so forth. Those are only actions that can be ascribed to a person. Perhaps the most convincing proof of the Holy Spirit's deity is in Acts 5. In Acts 5, we read the story of Ananias and Sapphira. And this is verses 3 and 4 from Acts 5. Peter's speaking. Listen to what he says. Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit? So the Holy Spirit's being lied to there. How is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. Right? So first he says, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. Later he said, you've not lied to men, you've lied to God. Right? So which one is it, Ananias? Have you lied to the Holy Spirit? Have you lied to God? Yes. Right? Yes. The Holy Spirit is God. He's lied to both. So that's the first truth set forth in the Catechism. The Holy Spirit is along with the Father and the Son, eternal God. Now, I'm probably not telling any of you here on a Sunday evening anything new with that point. But I do think maybe it's good to add this. Because the Holy Spirit is God, it's good for us to worship and to praise the Holy Spirit, even as we praise God the Father and God the Son. When I pray in my own devotions, I often follow the ACTS acronym that I was taught as a young child, right? The Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, Supplication. You've probably heard of that as well. And in the Adoration portion, I've always kind of struggled with that, struggled with saying the same things. And so I've taken more of a Trinitarian approach, I should say. Right? I'll focus on the Father, and I'll pray and praise God the Father for, you know, his kind providences in my life, and for watching over me and my family, and for providing us with our daily bread. And then I'll praise God the Son for, you know, dying and rising, and for being at the right hand of God, and for reigning over all things. And then I'll focus on the Spirit, and I'll praise the Spirit for his work in the church, and for his work in my own life. And I've really found that to be sort of a wonderful addition, maybe. I don't know what the right word would be. A wonderful sort of addition to my own prayer life. I've kind of found that to give it some life and vibrancy that wasn't there. Certainly, it's a wonderful way to worship the triune God, right? The Holy Spirit, along with the Father and Son, is God. And so I guess I would challenge you maybe to sort of be intentionally Trinitarian in your devotional life, and maybe in your prayer life, and try to sort of think of God in that way. I mean, that's how he's revealed himself, and so there's more of a fuller, deeper, richer understanding of God that kind of comes out of that. And I don't know, maybe what I'm saying is beyond you, but it makes sense to me, and it's just something I've sort of practiced and something I kind of want to put out there for you as well. But the Spirit is God, and therefore He is worthy of our worship, and he is worthy of our adoration, and he is worthy of our praise. And we could probably do better in ascribing those things to him. The second thing the Catechism says is that he, the Holy Spirit, has been given to me personally. Isn't this remarkable? Right? I mean, we've just said, the Catechism has just made the point, we've just made the point that the Holy Spirit is God. And now it says he's been given to me personally. God given to me personally. The wonder of Christmas is God with us. The wonder of Pentecost is God given to me. We get really excited about it. I bet, you know, I mean, if we put presents with Pentecost, I mean, it's almost bigger and better, isn't it? Of course, you can't have Pentecost without Christmas, and all works together. You can't separate these things. But God with us, God given to me. That's the wonder of Pentecost. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? 2 Corinthians 1:21. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Galatians 4:6. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. God, given to me. Catechism goes on to tell us why the Holy Spirit has been given to each and every one of us personally. It says there, so that by true faith, that phrase is important to notice, so that by true faith, as someone has said, the Holy Spirit does not make anonymous Christians. No, the mark of one who has received the Holy Spirit is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is a person trusting in Christ for salvation? Is a person looking to Christ in their day-to-day life? If so, it's because they've received the Holy Spirit. The Spirit doesn't make anonymous Christians. No, he makes believers. He opens hearts to Jesus. So he's been given to me personally so that by true faith, he makes me share in Christ and all his blessings. I'm reminded now of what we've learned at Prosper these last weeks. We've been studying the doctrines of grace in the morning tulip, right? If you're familiar with the Reformed tradition, the 5 points of Calvinism. And what we learn is that just as God the Father and God the Son, they play an active role in our salvation, so does God the Spirit. I've said this over and over to the people here. You're going to get sick of it. God the Father ordains our salvation. God the Son accomplishes our salvation. God the Holy Spirit applies our salvation. God the Holy Spirit penetrates into the inmost beings of men and women, and he opens their hearts to the truth of Jesus in the gospel. Right? That's what the Holy Spirit does. He makes us share in Christ and all his blessings. One place we see this in the Bible is Acts 10. Peter is at Cornelius' house. He's speaking the word of the Lord to the people there, Gentiles. And this is what we read starting at verse 44 of Acts 10. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit attends the preaching of God's word and applies salvation to us. He makes us share in Christ and all his benefits, right? The forgiveness of sins, the hope of eternal life, power for service in Christ's kingdom. All of it is ours through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. As he gives us true faith, as he makes us share in Christ and all his blessings. The next thing the Catechism says is that the Spirit who's been given to me also comforts me. The Catechism here is drawing on language from the King James Version. The King James Version translates the all-important Greek word parakletos, paraclete, maybe you've heard of that. It's going to be in the hymn we sing after the message. The KJV translates that word as comforter. The NIV translates that same word, John 14, 15, 16, 17. The NIV translates that same word as helper. Other translations translate it as advocate. Still others translate it as, I don't have another one listed here. Sorry, I'm sure there are other translations, but I went too far. But counselor, comforter, advocate. What's another one? Come on, Joel? You can't think of another one either. There's so many more. They translate it many different ways. Those are the ones I have listed here, and I'm drawing a blank on the other ones. Counselor, comforter, helper, advocate. Anyway, you get it. Anyways, none of those translations are wrong, all right? The word parakletos, that Greek word, it's a rich word, and really to get at the significance of that word, you need to put all those words together, right? Comforter, counselor, helper, advocate. Put those all together, and that is what the Holy Spirit does for us. And maybe then in a time of great loss or sorrow, right, you've experienced that peace that passes all understanding. As believers, we say, absolutely, that is the comforting ministry of the Holy Spirit within. And maybe at various times in your life, hopefully often, you've had a deep awareness of God's love for you in Christ. As believers, we say, absolutely, that is the comforting ministry of the Holy Spirit who testifies in our hearts that we are children of God. Could be that through the Word of God in a sermon or in your own private devotion, God spoke to you and showed you the way you should go on some matter. That too, it's part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit who counsels us and comforts us. One of the primary ways the Spirit comforts us really is by focusing our attention on the Lord Jesus Christ. John 16, 14, Jesus says, "He, the Spirit, will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you." Okay? Jesus says, "The Spirit will bring glory to me by taking what is mine, making it known to you." The Spirit, we like to say, he makes Christ known to us. He shines the spotlight on Christ. He helps believers see Christ in all his glory. In order as the Spirit shines the light on Christ before our eyes, as he shows us the finished work of Jesus on the cross, again, there's comfort for us in that. So the Spirit has been given to me personally so that by true faith I might share in Christ and all his blessings. He comforts me. Finally, the Catechism says, and he remains with me forever. He remains with me forever. Romans 11, 29 says that God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. That means that which God gives through Christ, namely this evening, the gift of the Holy Spirit, but all his gifts through Christ, they are not gifts that he'll take back. They're not gifts that he'll revoke. I have an uncle, hope he doesn't listen to this. I'm going fishing with him here in a few days. He always gives me stuff, and then he calls me like 2 years later, and he's like, "Hey, can I have that depth finder back? Can I have that lure back?" Me and my dad always laugh about that. We always know he's going to ask for something back after he gives it to us. God does not do that. God doesn't call and ask, "Can I have the Holy Spirit back?" No, his gifts and his call are irrevocable. No doubt we're getting into the realm again tonight that we were in this morning here about the perseverance of the saints, about how true believers in the Lord Jesus will not be lost, cannot be lost. The canons of Dort remind us that even after we're converted to Christ, sin remains in our lives. Sometimes, sadly, God's people fall into serious sins because of this. We think of David again. We think of Peter again, among others. Now, these serious sins are just that. They're serious. The canons say that by these serious sins, right, we offend God, we grieve the Holy Spirit, we suspend the exercise of faith, we lose our awareness of grace. Right, these sins are serious. They're a problem. But even in these times of backsliding and serious sins, God does not take his Holy Spirit from his own. But in due time, By his word and that same Holy Spirit dwelling within, he brings his people, as he brought David, as he brought Peter, as he's brought each of us to this place of repentance and of heartfelt sorrow for sins. And he enables us by that Spirit to find forgiveness anew in the blood of Christ and to experience afresh the grace of a reconciled God. Again, David, Peter, both restored. They committed serious sins, yes, but God did not forsake them. God did not abandon them. God remained with them. God's gift and his call are irrevocable. The Holy Spirit given to us when we first believe remains with us and abides with us forever, even when we stumble, even when we fall, even when we lose our way. The Spirit abides. The Spirit doesn't let us go. The Spirit preserves us. Isn't that good news? The Spirit remains with us forever. People are fickle. They come and they go. We have something for them, they want to be with us. We don't have anything for them, they leave us. People are like that. God is not like that. God the Father sent God the Son to redeem us from our sins, to reconcile us to himself. God the Son ascended on high 40 days after his resurrection, and 10 days later, he sent God the Spirit into our hearts in order that we might share in the victory Christ won for us by his death. The Spirit that Jesus gave us, he remains with us forever. Forever. God himself, given to you forever. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you that it wasn't enough for you to come and to dwell among us in the person of Jesus Christ, but you gave yourself to us personally in the person of the Holy Spirit. You dwell with us. You dwell in us. You enable us to believe, to walk in obedience. You comfort us. You remain with us forever. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Why don't you stand for the parting blessing? Brothers and sisters, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and grant you his peace. Amen. We're going to close with number 425. Is this a familiar tune that we know? Okay, 425, Creator Spirit by whose aid? And how many verses are there, Karen? We'll sing all three, 425.